This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have a couple of callers here I want to get to in this segment before we hit 9 o'clock. And every time I see this guy, I have to go to him. And that is the great Anthony in Belleville, who joins us this morning. What's going on, Anthony? How are you?
Boomer and Geo. Hey now.
Hey now.
What's happening, Anthony? What you want today?
Whose show am I calling?
Our show.
Regarding the umpires and the catchers, now, don't you think this framing stuff is kind of trying to deceive the umpire?
Yes.
I mean,
that's the whole point.
I mean, how can they do that? And they shouldn't allow that. You know, they do it anyway, but it's trying to deceive the umpire, and it makes me aggravated as well.
All right, well, what do you think? I mean, do you have a consistent opinion on this when it comes to, you know, Patrick Mahomes trying to draw a flag or an NBA player flopping to get a foul? Do you put that in the same category as the catcher framing a pitch?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But it's more, but it happens more in baseball because there's a lot of games and it happens all the time.
Yeah, but okay, yeah. But it's up to the umpire who knows that the catcher is framing those pitches to make the right call.
You know what I will say about this? Did you ever play baseball there, Anthony? There is an art to framing pitches. That's all I'll say from a catcher's perspective.
Right. And they're not. And there was a rule to stop flopping in the NBA and in the NHL with the embellishment stuff, or the flopping calls are saying that. They're not going to make a rule in Major League Baseball to stop framing.
That is a part of the game, and that is something that catchers, as they are called receivers, there's an art to it.
Yeah. Let's. This is a caller that I could hear in 2003 dog going to on a Saturday morning. Flavio and Hawthorne. Flavio, you're on the fan.
Hey now, Flavio.
Hey, guys.
Hey, listen, before I get into the Yankees, I just want to say the best part of the BT and Sal show, it was either last week or the week before, was when Sal called in sick.
Oh, see,
that's
come
all
on,
I'm going to say.
Come on.
It was a little bit of a crybaby. But listen, about the Yankees, we're several weeks into the season, and I think Carlos Rodon has proved himself to be an outstanding middle reliever. So with Schmidt coming back Wednesday, I'm going to that game. I'm excited about that. With Heel coming back eventually, what are your thoughts on putting Rodon? Because he 3-4 innings, he's outstanding. Once he hits that, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Flavio, from a baseball standpoint, you're correct. From a contract standpoint, there's no way what they're paying him, what he used to be, what they need him to be with Gerrit Cole out, he's going to get every single opportunity. And if he's horrendous, then he won't be in the rotation in the postseason. But There is no way in hell you could take a guy who's making that type of money, who has shown at times he still has it, just not enough times. You're going to stick him in the bullpen for mop-up duty. It's just not not something that's going to happen.
I mean, he's making $27 million a year.
Yeah.
And he was brought here to be what they thought was going to be like either the premier starter or the second guy. And now adding Max Fried to this mix, he's going to be the second guy. And, I understand what Flavio is saying because it is so frustrating to watch a guy that can be so dominating and then all of a sudden completely lose it, especially after the coaches come out and talk to him.
Yeah. I mean, and this was the biggest fear when he came over, that he was going to be one of these guys like a Sonny Gray who couldn't handle it when he came here. And it's just, he hasn't been as bad as that.
No, but you got 3.5 more years of him.
I know. Well, so far, so good with Max Fried, at least. Let's go to Pat and Suffren. What's up, Pat?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, man.
Just a couple things. If I could just do two quick things. One, I think I was listening on either Sunday morning or Saturday, and they were, like, interviewing Rory. And luckily, he was in the lead, so he spoke to the reporter. But he was talking about his approach, and I'm going to tell you, it was fascinating. He was talking about the emotion, like, keeping that, and then keeping like the robotic part, like the technical part, and just merging it together. And I thought it was from an athlete, one of the best just insights into what his mental approach was. I mean, Boomer's always talking about how the fans want to know what they're thinking and all that, and it was pretty good, I thought.
Yeah, I actually saw it. And by the way, he did have lunch with Jack Nicklaus prior to the Masters. And they were going over all the holes and about how he was going to play the holes.
Yeah, which is great. And there's obviously nobody better to talk to than Jack about it. I mean, I think that some of these golfers and when they open up and talk about the mental and the physical side about it, it is fascinating to people because a lot of people play, as I mentioned before, Victor Hovland, some of the stuff that he was talking about, you know, the way that Bryson approaches it. But, you know, Rory is someone that has to be, as he says it, in his own little world, in his bubble. When he plays his best, or he's not thinking about the distractions, he's not thinking about anything else. He's just being himself, bopping up and down with that walk. And clearly it got in his head a little bit towards the end, but he was still able to finish the job.
So, you know, golf is an individual sport. Now, you have coaches and you have people around you, your family and everything else, but it really truly is you, the golf ball, and the elements, and the golf course, of course. Mm-hmm. And you know this because you play yourself. And I was listening to Henrik Lundqvist and Brian Boyle last night talk about Matt Rempe. And it's the same thing. Like, you have to learn how to become a professional hockey player, and you can't be you have to become uncumbered, right?
Unencumbered
with your brain. In other words, your brain gets in the middle of everything that you're doing. You're thinking too much. It's the same thing with a rookie quarterback. It could be a rookie pitcher. It could be a rookie batter. Like, they start overthinking things, and now all of a sudden your brain gets in your way. Until you start having some success and realizing, as Brian Boyle was pointing out last night, like, when you're a young hockey player, you're so worried about defense and being where you're supposed to be that your offensive game just doesn't come to you because you're thinking too much. You're overanalyzing it. And I think the same thing can be said about golf. That's why in the last 20 years, that we didn't have it this much when I played back in the 80s. We had some of it. And I remember my coach, Coach Claiborne, my initial coach at the University of Maryland, all gave us a book, and it was called Psycho-Cybernetics. And it was the power of positive thinking. And that was the first time that I had ever been exposed to something like that. We didn't get into real detail with it. It was just a book that we all read and kind of, you close your eyes, you visualize you having success. But when you listen to what Rory was saying and how he's approaching the round, what Brian Boyle was saying about Matt Rempe last night, it's the same thing in regards to every sport, every athlete.
Jason Day closes his eyes before every tee shot and envisions the good shot before he hits it. So, I mean,
that's the lie that America tells you, and the American dream. You know, if you want it, work hard enough and you can achieve it. You can't, actually. That's a big fat lie.
Well, nobody Jerry keeps it real like Jerry, you know what I'm saying?
Jake at Central Park. What's going on, Jake?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Yeah, you know, I just, you know, heard the call earlier about, you know, do you think that you're trying to deceive the umpire by framing a pitch? Like, you've got... do I wear blood... do I wear black, you know, to hide that I'm getting sacked from my girlfriend? Like, what kind of question is that? This has been a part of the game forever.
You know what, Jake? That is hilarious. And that was Anthony in Belleville that called up and asked that question. And
who's usually a little bit, you know, sarcastic.
Out there.
Yeah, and out there.
Well, I think he actually asked a serious question this time, but he's definitely out there. His brain works differently than ours, Jake. You just got to remember that.
And we're very sensitive to our... pretty much our everyday callers.